Happy Friday. Welcome to Champagne Channeling. I am so excited to relax with you and enjoy loose, candid conversation with my featured guest. As another week has passed, I'd like to invite the energy of Freya, a Nordic goddess whose name means Friday. She represents fun and celebration. I deeply honor the medium and the human experience. As much as I surrender and serve spirit, I also choose to indulge and serve myself by enjoying the finer things in life, one of which is champagne, accompanied by the perfect glass. So grab your favorite glass, fill it with a beautiful beverage that lights you up, sit back, and enjoy. I am so happy you're here. Cheers to a beautiful spirit-led weekend. Hello, and welcome back to another episode of your favorite Champagne Channeling. Today, we are going to talk about mediumship. I know that this is one of the most downloaded topics on this podcast, and after all, it is the medium experience. And so I'm very excited to introduce to you my new friend, Stephanie, the medium in the middle. Welcome to the show.
Hello. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Of course. I love, Stephanie just asked, do you edit? And I'm like, no, I'm usually pretty good. And then I just kind of botched that intro, but here we are, you know me, and this is nothing we're going to worry about here. But Stephanie, I love your approach to mediumship because it's so similar to mine. And I just sort of want to talk about it freely because it sounds like you and I both believe like we all have this ability. And really the only difference between us and the people that maybe are still a little intimidated by this word or haven't claimed it as something that they do or practice is fear. And so where is it like in your life that you realize like I am a medium and I'm gonna step into this and claim it to the world?
Ooh, good question. My story that I always tell for this is there was this spirit called Josh, and this was an experience that after I spoke to this spirit, I was like, oh, I get it. So long story short, it was my best friend's mom's partner's son, and he had passed like I think long, long ago, like a long time ago when he was about 20 in a car accident. But I didn't know this. At the time, they thought the car accident was kind of on purpose. Like he was trying to kill himself or get into an accident, cause harm. And when I spoke to him, sorry, my throat. There goes my throat chakra. when I spoke to him, the first thing he said was, Dad, I didn't kill myself. Like, it wasn't on purpose. And this man that I barely knew, I had met once before, just started bawling his eyes out. And he said, Steph, for 20 years, we thought that that accident was on purpose. And now you're saying that it's not. Like, we've held so much guilt. We've held so much sadness. Like, there were so many emotions wrapped up. And just in one sentence, it was 20 years of pain was gone. And after that experience, I was just like, oh, like this is the stuff that can change people's lives. This is why we do mediumship. This is why it's important. And I think up until this point, it was, yeah, it was scary. I didn't know what was happening. I thought I was crazy. I was Googling and YouTubing everything. And then that happened. And it just felt like something in my mind switched where I thought like, oh, like I get it. I'll do it. Like, even if it was just that one person, but I was like, okay, I'll figure this out. It doesn't matter if I'm crazy. It doesn't matter if people believe me or not. It doesn't matter if people think I'm crazy. It doesn't matter if I think I'm crazy. I have to see what's here because I like saw the change of 20 years of pain be lifted from someone. And that to me just blew my mind. So after that, I just said, you know, what's here for me? What do I need to do? What do I need to learn? What do I need to figure out? And yeah, it's been a journey ever since then. But ever since Josh, It was one of those things where I'm like, I get the impact of mediumship.
Amazing. Did you, so that is like a pretty undeniable experience. Like you knew that you were communicating with spirit. Before or after, did you do traditional training? Did you hire somebody to help you sort of get a little bit more familiar on how to deliver? Or are you somebody that was sort of just born, I'm communicating and I'm going to effectively be able to share with others what I'm seeing, feeling, hearing?
Yeah, I did. So that was at the very beginning. I think the Josh story happened about 1 to 3 months into me realizing I was a medium. So I'm not the type of person where I was like, I knew my whole life. I didn't. Like, I had weird things here and there happen throughout my life. I had some like odd experiences, but I was never like aware that I was a medium until I was in my late 20s. And then after that, it took me a long time to find someone to help me and teach me. I was kind of trying everything. I was going to circles and I was going to groups and I was going to anything I found online and a lot of YouTube and a lot of Google. And I was just not finding my tribe. And then it took me about a year and a half and I found some teachers online that I did start to take courses and I did start to take different things. But a lot of the teachings, I'm even now in a mediumship development 6-month group. And the teacher was like, why are you here? And I'm like, I just want to know if there's anything else I need. There's a lot of things that, yeah, I was already doing. I already knew. I'm like, oh yeah, that happens. But I think the structure of it just gives you that confirmation. We're all looking for confirmation. Am I doing it right? Is there anything more I could be doing? Can I make this easier? Can I make this faster? So yeah, I would say it took me about a year and a half to 2 years before I found a teacher. I was just kind of like flailing in the ocean alone, not knowing what to do and just being like, I think I can talk to dead people. What now? So I used to be a CrossFit coach, and it's a funny story. People would be like, hey, Steph, like, how are you? And I'd be teaching class and I'd be like, yeah, good. I think I can talk to the dead. So today's workout is, and everyone was like, what? But it's just so like consuming. You're like, I didn't even know what to do, what to say. I was like, I think I can talk to dead people. What'd you eat for lunch? Like, what about you? You know?
Yeah.
Did you have that experience at all of like?
Not really. No, I'm such a empath, right? So it's like my emotional language is vast and I feel intense things. And so when I went into mediumship, it was actually a sort of like I'm bored during COVID and I want to take something to just see. And I had to do practice readings with a phone call, like not even Zoom, like a voice would say, hi, my name is Bill. I live in New Jersey and it's stormy outside right now. And I'd have to just go. And I was really good. And so my teacher was like, hold on, like, what's going on here? Like, you've never done this. And I'm like, no, but I had never been in an environment where I pushed out all the other noise and I just got to play. And so that was really my first awareness of how busy my auric field was and how much I was holding court for probably souls and emotional baggage of people that were still in the human experience. And so that's when I started cleaning house a little bit and my life completely changed. And when I learned to manage my energy and create proper boundaries with other energy, then it kind of all fell into place. And so I think sometimes it's about turning the dials up. And in my case, it's about turning the dials down.
Yeah. Same. I'm always trying to turn the dials down. And I think that's a common misconception that people think if you turn the dials down, like spirit goes away. And I was like, guys, no one has been more dialed down than me, more boundaries than me. And they're still there. They're not going anywhere. If anything, they come in stronger.
Yes, I agree. And you said something I want to talk about because I do feel like this is something that I actually didn't like when people would say this to me, but some people claim it, some people are offended by, oh, I wasn't ever offended. I just felt like it was an opportunity for me to educate. But you said, I talk to dead people. And so when we think of talking, like you and I are talking, we're using words, we're having a dialogue, a conversation is happening. I think what happens is people think, oh, you can sit down and call in my Nana and have a full on word for word conversation and dialogue. I would like to sit with you and know exactly what she's saying. And so how is your, what when you teach?
Ooh, yeah, I like that, the way you say that, talking. I never thought about that.
So how do you, like, yeah, what would you say about that? Like, what's your perception and how do you help people understand that that's not always how it happens?
Yeah. So I always like to explain that it's not like a phone call. I was like, if it was as easy as just picking up the phone and being like, tell me your secret recipe, you know, this would be a lot easier. I like to say it's kind of like blind charades, where they're saying and doing and showing you things and you have to kind of piece it together. The hard part is piecing it together without my lens or my judgment or what I think, you know, a tray of biscuits is. Maybe it's muffins, maybe it's something else, but like, I think biscuits. So yeah, it's blind charades. And sometimes they do talk. I find every spirit is different, where I will get full sentences or I will get like, oh, they're saying this. Mm-hmm. But that is more rare, I would say, than like flashes of things, showing me things. Oh, that's why they showed me the purple slippers. Oh, that's why they were showing me in the kitchen earlier. Oh, that's why they showed me three doors. So I would say, yeah, blind charades is more, or maybe mute charades, not blind, where you're just seeing random things or they're doing random things and you're like, what is this? And how do I describe this without thinking and putting the thinking cap on? Because I find the hardest part of mediumship is not thinking. It's the hardest and it's the easiest, because when you're in the zone, you're in the zone. But that's what I always teach. I'm like, if you find yourself thinking, you are not receiving. I don't sit here and I think, who's here for you? A girl, a boy, old, young. No, it's like grandma, 36, name is Susie, da-da-da. It's fast, 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 and you're not thinking. There's no time for thinking. So yeah, I wouldn't say it's talking, but it is communicating through different modalities, and everyone has different strengths. I don't hear anything. I don't see anything. Sometimes, but like not often. So that's how I would describe it.
I love it. You and I are very similar. It sounds like we're both dominant in claircognizance, because it's the same. Like, once I open this mouth, it's like, I don't know. Like, I'm even entertained. I'm watching the show too.
Yeah. Sometimes I find myself, I'm like, wow, that was good. I had one reading where spirit was just spot on and she's like, holy cow, you're good. And I was like, yeah, I'm usually not this good. I was like, you know, sometimes they're just saying things that are so easy to understand. You're like, yeah, you used to get a Dairy Queen cake every year. Yeah. You have three kids and these are their names. Yeah. You have. And I was like, whoa, like I usually don't get that.
Yeah. I've had the same thing happen. That's amazing. And so this is something that I want everyone to understand, is like, mediumship is not consistent.
No.
But I do believe, and I would like you to talk about this, but like, I do believe it's accessible to everyone.
Yes. Yes, it is. I mean, before we can even talk about mediumship, I think we have to talk about intuition.
Yes.
Because, yeah, you talked about the fear of it, which I think is definitely a layer. But I think the biggest layer is trust. So people will say all the time, like, you know, my lights flicker in the bathroom and I think it's my dad. Do you think it's my dad? And like the sassy me just wants to be like, why are you asking me? Like, he's your dad. And you think it's your dad. Do you really need a stranger to be like, yes, it's your dad?
Mm-hmm.
But so many people just want a medium to tell them, yes, it's dad. Yes, it's mom. And I wish that they didn't feel that they had to ask me in order to get validation in that. So I think if we trusted ourselves and we trusted our intuition, we could just be like, lights are flickering. Hey, dad. And just take those things, because yeah, spirit's always trying to communicate. I always say, your spirits aren't with me. They're with you. Why would they be with me? I'm a stranger. Yes, I can come in and talk to them, but they're hanging around you. They're showing you signs. They're in your house. They're in your life. I'm just here to be like, okay, I'll be the communicator for, you know, 25, 50 minutes. So that's a big misconception that we wish people would be like, if you think the flickering lights are dad, accept that it's dad. What's the worst that can happen? You think the flickering lights are dad and it's not? it's not the end of the world, you know, it's not the worst thing that can happen. Just take these signs. But I wish everyone would just stop saying, what if I'm making it up in my head?
Yes.
You're probably not.
Yeah. Okay. This is so good, Steph. I just love talking to you. Oh my gosh. This is just the beginning of so many fabulous things. I know it, but okay. I feel like people that seek out medium psychics are either curious or want confirmation. And what's hard for us is if you want confirmation, that's beautiful the first time, maybe the second time. But if it's the third and the fourth time, we are in a position where we're like, you need to take radical responsibility for your own spiritual journey and do the work. And that's why you and I are probably both find ourselves more now in teaching and not doing one-on-one reading.
Yes.
But the curious people is more, I'm either just curious and I'm not going to take this, you know, how I think it's intended to be and it's for deep healing, or prove it to me. And the prove it to me is definitely not fun for any of us, because it's us against the world, right? It's like, I just don't want to play that game. And so I think what we all need to start realizing is we are all intuitive. We are all psychic. We all have ability to communicate to the other side, because the other side is us. We are soul first. But it's just not talked about enough.
Yeah. I really like the way you said that, because I think that's what drove me to be a teacher, is I was tired of people asking me 5, 6, 7 times. And I was like, why are you at? And, you know, and then you're like, okay, book an appointment, but then they will book an appointment. You're like, okay, well, you've paid me now 7 times. Then I was like, stop giving me money. Let me teach you how to do this for yourself. Like, stop looking outside of yourself for the answers. Everything is there. So I love now my teacher hat, and I put it on more often, because I will not be your guru. I will not tell you the answers. I will not confirm to you. I will ask you the question back. And my like common thing that I'm always saying is, I will always teach you how to add. I will never give you the answer. So what's 2 + 2? Count my fingers. But I don't know, Steph. Just tell me what the answer is. Count. What's here? What do you see? 2 + 2? What is it? No, Steph. Just what is it? Just tell me the answer. Are you sure? Like, is it 5? Is it 4? What's the answer? And I will just sit here and say, you tell me. 2 + 2. 2 + 2. I'm not the answer book. I don't want to be the answer book. I don't want anyone to think I'm the answer book. And this probably goes for all mediums. We're not the answer book. We've just been adding way longer than you have. You're over here learning 2 + 2. We're learning 8 + 8. We're on the bigger numbers, but you have to learn how to add, and you can't skip that step. So now I will always teach you how to add, and I will almost never tell you the answer. And people who know that about me like get frustrated. They're like, why won't you just tell me? And I just honestly and truly believe it's not my job to be the answer book. And I always say, if you were a child and if you were a parent and your child was learning math, would you ever say, yeah, that answer is 4, that answer is 6, that answer is 8, next page, that's 16, that's 32? No, you would say, add 2 + 2. Learn how to add 2 + 2. It's not helpful for me to tell you 4. Mm-hmm. It's helpful for me to teach you how to add. And that's how I believe about everything, mediumship, energy work. Anything that I can do, I can teach you how to do. Yes, maybe not as good as me. I've been doing this for a long time, but you will get there if you start today. So yeah, I really like how you worded that there. Sorry for my little rant. I just want people to learn how to add.
I think it's because you've been in the industry long enough to where you get frustrated with laziness. And I do believe that we do not lack answers. We lack discipline. And so if somebody is going to continue to utilize this work and yet not choose to have the discipline in their own practice and in their own life, it is frustrating. And it you just have no tolerance for it. And I can hear that through your voice, because
yeah. I think I am lucky though, but because I'm openly speaking like this all the time, I don't get very many people who are looking for validation over and over and over again. I get a lot of the really amazing clients who are like, okay, I'm ready to do the work. I'm ready to learn. I'm ready to figure this out. So yeah, that is, I feel very, we attract who we're supposed to be working with. So that feels really good as well.
Yeah. And I love that you say that you can't give them the answer, because really what you're saying is, I'm not going to set myself up for success or for a failure, because when I smell cigarette smoke, it means this, but But when you smell cigarette smoke, it can mean something else. And so building a language with spirit is such a personal journey.
Yeah.
And so that's why we don't know always. I mean, yes, you know, I'm really, really psychic. So I usually can sense right away if it's a yes or if it's a no, you know, like it's just that I'll have that awareness, but I also now have that awareness of is me confirming going to benefit their growth. And if the answer is no, then I'm going to, I stand with you. And it's like,
exactly.
I'm not going to support that.
Yeah. And I think that's through lots of our own ego work. Because if you were to ask me 5 years ago, I would tell you 2 + 2 = 4, 6 + 6 = 12. And I would give you all the answers. And then I was like, wait, what am I doing? This isn't helpful. I'm not, there's no benefit of me telling you 2 + 2 = 4. So it took a lot of inner work and reflection and being like, why does my ego want to be right? Why is my ego saying all the answers? Why is my ego doing this? And then realizing, oh, this is also through my lessons and through my growth and through things. But yeah, at the beginning, of course, we were like, look how psychic I am. I'm going to tell you this and I'm going to tell you this. And now I'm like, who knows what will happen?
I was the same. I definitely realized how psychic I was when I was drinking, you know, like I'd have wine and then be telling.
Oh, yeah. Same. Like, yeah. Yeah. On a dance floor at a wedding. I'm like, yeah. You're having a girl. This is happening to you. Be careful for your new job.
So my life. It's still, I'm not going to lie. Like I got to watch it. Same. Like yeah. I don't mean to do drive-by readings, but I, you know, if I have wine and I'm out in public and somebody comes up to me as they always do, and then it's just like, oops, hope I helped you. Bye. Like,
yeah. My last podcast episode was literally, I started giving out palm readings at a bar in Mexico. Just too many margaritas, and everyone's like, what do you do? And my little bit is, I'm like, I'm a palm reader. Let me read your palm. It's great for meeting guys. And then they're like, read me. I'm like, okay. And, you know, and then I usually convince them to give me money afterwards because I'm like, now give me
$20. This is so good. Okay, so wait, what do you say? Because both of us have medium in our titles, which is like, oops. But every time the World of Spirit gave me the medium experience, and it was still when I was in that first kind of training. And I have had not only people tell me, like, you would have way more clients if that wasn't your name. But every time I go inward, it's like Spirit was like, we gave you that name for a reason. And like, this is your name. I'm like, okay. But when I tell people, you know, my business is the medium experience, or, you know, I'm the medium in the middle, it's like the first thing they say is, who's around me?
Yeah. Yeah. Who's here?
Yeah.
I will avoid saying that I'm medium in the middle at all costs. I usually will say, like, I have a podcast. It's about spirituality. It's about, but I do still feel, because I'm like, I am still a medium. Just because you don't offer mediumship readings doesn't mean we're not mediums, just because we don't do one-on-one work. And especially my name, like, I do feel like I'm in the middle. I'm in the middle of you and me and spirit. I'm in the middle of you and your spirit guides. I'm in the middle. I do a lot of Reiki. I am the middleman. I'm the extension cord. So nothing is coming from me. I'm always an extension cord to something else. So yeah, I'm the medium in the middle. I'm Steph in the middle. I'm Reiki master in the middle. I'm just in the middle of everything. But I try not to say I'm medium in the middle. And if I do, people usually don't register the word medium. They're like, oh, cool. Medium in the middle.
That's lucky. That's that.
Yeah. Yours is a little more the medium experience. Mine's medium in the middle. They're like, huh? I'm like, oh, it's just about spiritual stuff.
I love it.
Don't ask any more questions.
You have more boundaries. Like, I can feel your boundaries are like your boundaries are pretty firm, where I'm like, I'm like, you know, I'm a Cancer with a Pisces moon. I'm like, la, 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 like, let's get into every crevice that water can reach.
Yeah, I'm a Libra double Capricorn. So I'm like, oh yeah, I like do stuff. What do you do? Yeah, tell me about you. What's your job? People love to talk about themselves. Just deflect.
Oh, love it. I need to learn. Okay, so when it comes to your teaching, what is your favorite thing? Like, do you like teaching people that are ready to do the work, but beginner? Or are you more like, I want to help people develop past that, like, okay, I know I'm a medium, now what?
Ooh, good question. My favorite thing to teach is Reiki. Okay. I always call Reiki the gateway drug to everything else. So that's my number one. I would say. I always say it's like a set of glasses. And just when you give people the glasses and they're like, oh, that awareness piece, I'm like, yes, this is the beginning. But then I also love to teach, baby mediums and starting businesses. I love business development. My Capricorn comes out. I'm like, let me teach you end of year. Let me teach you end of month. Let me show you how to do your books. Let me show you how to grow. So I love that stuff as well. But I like helping people in the starting stages, kind of getting them up and going. And then I'm like, okay, you're good. Now you're like, you know, your little Bambi and you can walk now, keep going. Because I find there's so much when you're first starting out and you feel lost and you feel alone and you're not sure and you just need confirmation. I like that. And then I like being like, okay, you're good now. You're standing. Go ahead and walk. Like, go do your math. Go on. I would say I work with a lot of developing mediums and businesses that are just starting out. And that's like, oh, I love it so much. I love teaching.
Every medium I know that has a Capricorn, either sun or moon or Virgo sun or moon, uses their mediumship to help people energetically and spiritually advance their businesses. And
I love business.
Amazing. I'm all about like the inner child.
I'm like, let me show you how to make money ethically. Integrity.
I was late, but I wasn't even late. I had a nervousness that I was going to be late to this podcast with Stephanie, and I was all frazzled because I thought it was a different Stephanie and Stephanie in front of me. We haven't met yet. And anyway, I'm all frazzled. My hair is wet, you guys. I'm like not looking my part. And I was like, Anna, I was just teaching class. And she goes, what are you teaching? I was like, well, I was actually guiding this class to meet their unicorn. But that's part of it, right?
It's like nothing is weird in our industry. Like people are always like, this might sound a little weird. I was like, try me. Like not much you can say is like, oh, unicorns, cool.
Yeah. You're like, I got one too. The light has been flickering ever since you said that, like, by the way. So just so you know, I know it's not my dad, but like it's energy and that got mentioned and yet here we are and I have a light that is like it's so distracting. I guess I could tell it to stop, but it's like, I see you. Thank you.
Yeah.
You want to make an
appearance? I like when they're around, they just show up.
Yeah. Always. Okay. So let me think. I always feel into my audience like, all right, we believe that everyone has the ability to be mediums, but like you said, let's back it up. Let's back it up into like, you are intuitive. We all are intuitive. And so what is the thing that you've run across most with your students on how intuition shows up in the resistance? Like where does it start to really kind of nudge at you? And where does the human in us say, that's not intuition?
Yeah, I think, and someone else said this to me, so I'm not taking credit for this, but someone said, like, we love to be proven right. Yeah. So, like, I knew that would happen. I knew. And I think there's a point where you stop waiting to be proven right or wrong, and you just do it. A very simple example that I use, one of my mentorship clients, she gave the perfect example of this. She was like, I came home from Costco and I bought, a bunch of stuff. And she was like, I was putting it all away, but I left a jar of peanut butter on the countertop because I had to move the other peanut butter and put this one behind and blah, blah, blah. And she was like, then, I started cooking dinner and I was like, oh, I got to put that peanut butter away. And she's like, oh, and then I started, doing the dishes and then the kids came home and I thought, oh, I got to put the peanut butter away. That peanut butter is going to fall. No. And then, she's doing this, she's doing that. And then, the kids come home, her husband comes home, and to no one's surprise, the peanut butter jar falls on the ground. Glass goes everywhere. Peanut butter goes everywhere. And she's like, and I'm on my hands and knees cleaning up this peanut butter, being like, I knew this was going to happen. I knew the peanut butter was going to fall. 3 times I got the intuitive hit to move the peanut butter jar, and I just didn't move the peanut butter. And that's such a perfect, simple example of intuition. We will know and know and know. And when we're on our hands and knees picking up peanut butter and glass and shaking our head, that's when we'll finally be like, I was right. And there's a point in life where you will just move the peanut butter jar. And maybe you'll never know if it was going to fall on the ground. Maybe you'll never know if you know what, if it was going to or not. But eventually you just move the peanut butter jar because you're tired of picking up glass and you're tired of being on your hands and knees cleaning a jar of peanut butter. So I think that shift happens where you will drop the peanut butter jar so many times. And then you'll be like, wait, maybe next time I will just move the jar and it won't fall. And, or I'll never know if it was going to fall or not, but that's okay because I cannot know the peanut butter jar was going to fall and just move it. And I feel like some people drop the peanut butter jar once, twice, 10 times, 25 times, 1,000 times, 2,000 times. You can drop your jar and clean it up as many times as you want. And I think as a teacher, one thing that, like, I was saying this and I felt really rude saying it, but I was like, I don't care. It does not affect my life. I'm not cleaning up your peanut butter. Who's on their hands and knees cleaning up the peanut butter in the jar? You are. So if you want to prove to yourself 10 times a day by cleaning up peanut butter 10 times a day, I don't care. My house doesn't have peanut butter on the floor because I just move my jars.
Mm-hmm.
And if I drop a jar once every 6 months, I'm like, yep, then that's why I always move my peanut butter jars. So I find that everyone is different. Some people drop their jars 10 times, 20 times, 100 times, 1,000 times. Some people come to me when they're 65 years old and they're like, I've been dropping peanut butter every day for the last 65 years. And I'm like, mm-hmm. And are you ready to change or are you going to keep dropping it and being like, I knew it was going to fall? So that I always use that example because it's such a perfect, simple example. Mediumship and psychic and all of those fun things isn't always crazy messages. Sometimes it's just move the peanut butter jar. Don't park there. Don't go in that door. Don't walk that way. Don't forget your rain jacket today. Like, they're not mind-boggling things all the time. But if you ignore the peanut butter, you're ignoring 1,000 other things. I can guarantee you that.
Oh, it's so good. I'm getting a download as you're speaking. And I just want to just convey this to the listeners because let's just say you're the person that drops the peanut butter jar 35 times, right? What's going to end up happening is you're going to start owning the self-deprecating thoughts. Like, I'm a klutz. Oh my gosh, I'm frantic. I'm so busy. I have anxiety. And so if you want to look deeper into where you've been maybe avoiding your own intuition, look at the labels that you have for yourself. Like, where are you labeling yourself? Because that's typically a repetitive motion, thought, behavior in the wrong direction. And yes, the way I talk about it is experience over evidence. We're raised to be in an evidential environment. Where's the proof? Where's the concept? Tell me why. And the experience is our innate soul senses being like, we don't need evidence. We just know.
And yeah, so you don't need the peanut butter jar to fall to know it was going to fall.
Yes. Yes. And so, yeah, I think that that would be how you reflect on your own life and on how do you label yourself? Like, what are the things you say about yourself and realize that's where you're ignoring yourself?
Well, and that's why I love my mentorship program so much, because I feel like I get in on people's lives where I say, like, how do you learn your lessons? And they're like, huh? I'm like, what are your patterns? They're like, what? And then I say, okay, just tell me a few things. Well, you know, every January I get sick. What? Every January I get sick. That doesn't even make sense. What happens in December? Nothing. No. What happens in December? What do you do every December that you get sick every January? Oh, you know, I always, you know, whatever it is. And it's just like when we start to realize those things aren't just random. Again, there's 1,000 signs everywhere every single day, but everyone's covering their eyes being like, I want to see more. Show me more. It's like, take your hands away from your eyes and you'd see everything. Yeah. So I think that's like the hardest thing to teach people is you know yourself the best. So you know when things are off. Like, if your bathroom lights have been flickering every day since you've bought the house, yeah, it's probably nothing. If your bathroom light only flickers on Friday, if your bathroom light only flickers, you know, when you turn it on in the middle of the night, you know that. I don't know those things. So I think it's also getting people to reflect on being like, what's normal for you and what's not normal for you. Mm-hmm. So like a simple example is I don't drop things. I have like cat-like reflexes. I will catch something with my toe. I do not drop things. If I start to drop things, I know it's spirit. If glass starts to break, I know it's spirit. I don't drop things. I don't, yeah, nothing falls on the ground. And as soon as it does, I'm like, oh, spirit's here. Who is it? What do you want? Cool. Bye. Like, in and out, fast. So it's just being aware of like, what are your patterns? What are, and learning how you learn lessons is what save you time. I like easy and fast. We want things to be easy and fast.
That's a Capricorn.
Yeah.
You know, you said something that I'm like, I want to like repeat it, because you said people know themselves the best. And I think that people have an opportunity to know themselves the best, but I think so many people are in this land of knowing themselves from the perception that others see them. You know, it's that ego, you know what I mean? Like, I was raised being told that I was funny because I got attention and loved for being funny. And then I kept doing it. And I think that the first thing that we kind of realize when we dive into this deeper work, whether it's psychic mediumship, just owning your own intuition, is you have to become such an observer of your own life. And you have to want to know yourself the best so you can track the patterns. And so you can see what is actually me and what is a response to the world and how they perceive me, because they're very different.
Yeah. And I like, obviously that's why we love learning and courses, but I think that's the benefit of learning and courses and mentorships, because you have someone just holding up a mirror to you and being like, what do you see? Oh, I see a funny person. No, what do you see? Like, who are you? Who do you want to be? What were you, a funny person 20 years ago? And now, who are you? So that version of the mirror can always change and you can become whatever you want. But I think we get stuck in, what we saw in the mirror 10 years ago, 20 years ago, who I was. So that's, that's really interesting. I like how you said that.
I love it. I love that. I think that you and I can feel that we've just both done so much work, and we're both in this way of like, now what? Now what? You know, it's this, what I heard one time, the prerequisite for a good medium is a life well lived.
Mm-hmm.
And that's true, because it's like, the more that you experience, the more that you know, the more that you investigate, the more that you're curious about, you're widening your expansion on all realms, but so much can then move through you. Like you said, I'm a conduit, or what you said, you're in the middle. And that I feel like is the sign of a really good medium or a good person that's going to guide you to your own healing, because you know that you are not the healer.
We are not.
People say I'm a healer, I'm like, ooh,
I cringe. Like, something, my like spine just, I was like, okay, tell me that again without your ego. That's what I want to say. That's the teacher in me is like, reframe this.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, you know, what would you say? Like, if I just said, I'm a healer, and then you said,
I would do this.
She has a smirk on her face and she's slowly nodding and backing up.
Okay.
We have to be careful of that, you guys. Like, there's so many people in this industry that, even when I started, you know, I had somebody say like, oh, you're going to be exhausted. And I can do, I mean, I have done,
you know. You're limiting beliefs to yourself.
Well, and it's not coming from me. Like, no, I'm getting the healing too. And so I have a full day of clients, and the only thing that exhausted is maybe my eyes from looking at a screen. Like, that's not great. But really, the energy of being a conduit is energizing to me.
Exactly. You're an extension cord. I'm not doing anything, essentially. Like, if in this most simplest form, and I try to teach this to people all the time, I'm like, you are doing nothing. You are an extension cord. Like, you are taking the power from here and putting it over there. That's it. And if you really sit in that space, it makes your job so freaking easy. Like, you are just, I always are like a mailman is another thing. I'm always like, someone hands me the mail, I hand the mail to you. It's not my mail. I don't own the mail. I didn't invent mail. I didn't send you that mail. I'm just handing you your mail, like a mailman hands you your mail, and then I leave. Like, that's it. I just gave you your mail. And it makes your job so easy because, nothing is coming from me. Nothing is being taken from me. I'm not being drained. I'm not putting my spin on things. I'm not putting my brain on it. I'm just like, here's your mail. Bye.
Oh, okay. I got two things. I'm going to be aware of time here, but I have to know what you think about these things. One is, how do you feel about, like, the dark side, like entities, dark spirits, attachments? Go.
Audible eye roll. Okay. I will say this, because I get asked this question all the time. I believe whatever you believe to be true is true. If you believe there's dark and there's entities and things are out to get you and it's bad, you're right. And I believe if you're protected and you work in light and nothing can reach you, you're also right. So I don't have to tell you this, but for the listeners, in order to be a medium, in order to be a psychic, we have to vibe so high. It is like you are reaching. So I always think about it as like swimming in the ocean. In order for me, a good medium, I have to keep my head above water. I need to be up. Can I stop treading water, hold my breath, and sink down to the bottom of the ocean and with intention get to some bottom feeders? Yes, it's possible. But I'm not sinking down to the bottom of the ocean. I'm treading water at the top of the ocean. So you get to choose where you're working, at the top of the ocean or at the bottom. And am I going to say that like darkness and evil and bad doesn't exist? No, of course it exists, but I don't touch it. I don't talk to it. Just as the same part, do you have rude, mean, annoying, nasty friends? Hopefully not, because you have boundaries. But like, you get to choose if you want to have rude, mean, and nasty friends, or do you not talk to those people and you talk to people who you like hanging out with and people who are fun and people who you learn from? So that's how I think about it, is like, you can't even reach me because I'm so high in the ocean. Nothing at the bottom of the ocean can touch me. So I always feel protected. I never feel scared. I've never had a bad experience. I have never had an entity stuck to me. I have never not been able to clear something off of me. I've never ever felt anything negative when it comes to spirit. We are always protected. They're always for the highest good. They're always trying to come here and help. Why would we even think otherwise? It just doesn't make sense to me. What's your perspective of that?
I agree completely. Oh, yeah. I think the darkest thing that we experience is the human experience.
And yes, is our own energy, minds.
Totally, but energy lives. So yeah. It's like, if there's dark things that happen in a house and you walk into that house and you're like, I don't feel good here, it's probably because you're perceiving something that happened there that was bad and energy linger.
And those things do exist. Like, I'm like, ooh, like, yeah, I don't want to talk to your dad. He was a nasty person. So I'm not going to talk to him. Or, ooh, I don't want to talk about that because it was a bad experience. I'm not going to talk about it. I'm going to find something that's helpful. I'm going to find something that's useful. But yeah, there is always going to be experiences. And I think our perception of things, there was one quick story. I had a friend go into the Akashic Records and she was like, when we were in the records, we saw these evil eyes and we were contacting the devil and we were this and we were that. And I was like, no. And I was like, there's no devil in the Akashic Records. I was like, let's think about this. Okay. Like, you know, when have you seen those eyes before? What do those eyes represent to you? What, like, start asking questions. And they're like, oh yeah, I have seen those eyes once before in a dream and it was when I was afraid. Okay, great. So those eyes equal fear. What were you talking about in the Akashic Records that equaled fear? And fear came up, but instantly you thought devil. Instantly you thought I'm connecting with something evil. No, that's your fear looking you straight in the face. And your fear is what scared you. So you're not connecting with the devil. There's nothing bad. It's just how we perceive things of why was that scary? And this happens a lot with mediumship. Spirit, I always say, they'll... Hey Steph. And they've been trying to whisper and tap your shoulder, but then when they jump in your face and they yell, hey Steph, you're like, spirit scared me. Spirit woke me up in the middle of the night. Spirit sat on my bed. Well, of course they sat on your bed. They've been trying to talk to you during the daytime for the last 10 years and you're not listening. And now they're like, she's sleeping. She'll listen now. Let me sit on her bed and scare her for them to listen. It's like, just pay attention and you won't be scared.
Yeah.
I've been going on a lot of rants today.
I know. I love it though. I think this energy is great. So don't even apologize. You're like, I love you. I had a breathwork session where it was all these like scary eyes in the forest. And then it was pretty much this scene in Snow White where it's like, she's in the forest, she's scared, she's dark. It's all these little yellow eyes. And then when she allows herself to realize that it's not scary, it's a bunch of bunnies that are actually scared of her. And it's just that mirroring of that fear.
Yes.
And so we just always have to realize, I mean, I literally, the unicorns and the Snow White and the Disney shit, like, always comes out of me because I do believe that that's just the language that I'm blessed with. But I think that we just need to realize, like, there's a metaphor in everything. And even if it's a children's story or wherever you find the information, it is that we have to overcome our own fear, our own issues that are unresolved. And really quick, one more question, because you said this, and I'm actually curious, because this is where I was confused in my own development of mediumship, is you said your dad was a jerk, I don't want to talk to him. And so what I felt like I was confused is, some mediums, I feel like, actually really do have this clarity on tapping into that human experience, like that lifetime, to where the individual in front of you is wanting to tap into that lifetime. And I feel like I'm able to see the wounding of the soul. And so to me, there's no soul that I would think was an asshole. There is a soul that would say, I was abused by my father, I shut down, and I am very sorry because I know I neglected my daughter and this is why. And so that's how it like would move through me. And I would have this like story of the father, the absentee father. And sometimes, you know, the daughter was like, I don't want to talk to him, he was a jerk. But then through that healing, it was like, oh, I can strip away the human experience and I can connect with the soul of dad. But when you say that, I just want to know, like, what's your experience with that? And do you feel the separation of soul and human experience?
Okay. That is a good thing that we should say, because yeah, your dad in human form could have been a jerk to you. But when they do come back in spirit, in all the experiences that I've had, if anyone has ever done something bad in their life, they come back with a new perspective. They're not coming back as their human selves. They're coming back as being like, oh, I'm sorry I did that. I understand now why I did that. I'm coming here with healing messages. So that's why I always feel like we're always working in the light. We're always protected. It's like, if you don't want to talk to your dad, that's fine. But he's actually here to apologize. And he never apologized in real life. So you actually might want to hear this. He's actually here to explain to you why he could never have done anything different in this lifetime. He now understands that. And he now understands the pain that he put you through. You might want to hear that. So have I ever not wanted to talk to a spirit? Sometimes I'm like, let's not talk about these things. Let's talk about something that's helpful. But because their soul is, I always say spirit's smarter than us. They know what they need to say. They know what they need to talk about. They know what they need to bring up. And they have that human experience, but now they're souls. So they have greater understanding. They've done the work. So they're not coming back as an asshole. They're coming back as being like, I now reflect about what was going on in my life. Let me help you not hold on to this pain for the rest of your life. I do agree with you on that.
Yeah. Okay. And that's something on my journey that I'm still kind of figuring out, because it seems that I would always... it makes sense for who I am and the work I want to do in this world, but it seems like the souls that would come through would be deeply apologetic for the lack of. And mm-hmm. if you have somebody in front of you that's like, well, I want to know if he wants me to sell the house. And to me, it's like, they're not going to, you know, I don't know. Like, this is where it's like, I feel that they are not going to interfere with your karmic journey around finances in this.
And that's life. Yeah. And I feel like that could be a whole other conversation, but everything spiritual will never go against free will. Mm-hmm. Akashic records, mediumship, energy. There's never a should, and there's never a what. Should I quit my job? What should I do? Whatever you want to do. And if you want to make the right choice or the wrong choice, you have to do it. And then you have to learn. And there is no should. There is no like what? So I think that's another reason why when people ask me those questions, I will not tell you if you should quit your job. Even if I know you should quit your job, or you're going to be stuck there for the next 5 years. And in 5 years, you're like, I knew I should have quit 5 years ago. I said, I knew that too, but you had to learn that on your own. So you just wasted 5 years. Don't waste another 5 years. Move the peanut butter jar or just keep picking it up. So there's just like nothing that, your dad can tell you to do, or anyone in spirit. So I used to offer Akashic record readings. That's the main reason why I stopped offering Akashic record readings, because I will not tell you what to do. Again, why are you listening to me? If you think you should quit your job, see what happens. If you're wrong, go back to your job.
Yeah. Yeah. I think
if you're right. You did the right thing. Great.
Exactly. And the thing, like, whatever.
Again, if we were kids, like, would we tell them, hey, don't touch the stove. Everyone's going to touch the stove anyway. So just let them touch the stove and realize it's hot.
Yeah. And whatever we desire in life, truly, like relationships, abundance, freedom, I think naturally will come to us if we prioritize coming home and becoming more of who we are. Because the only reason what we desire isn't a match right now is because of all of the other crap that's on top of it. And that is unresolved childhood trauma. That is false beliefs. That is an ego identity that has nothing to do with you and your vibration.
Yeah. And I get it. And I get that people see people who have done years of work, years and years of work. And it's like, I can manifest now whatever I want. I can manifest money. I can manifest houses. I can manifest relationships. And people are like, cool, I want to manifest. I'm like, great. Now let's do 5 years of work first before you get to do that. And they're like, well, no, I just want the money. It's like, well, no, it doesn't work that way. And everything in spirituality, everyone wants a shortcut. Everyone wants to know. And it's like, I can take you down the road. It's a long road, but I can take you there. There's no shortcut. There's no car you can jump into. There's no skip this level. So when we see people with things, I get it. You're like, just teach me, tell me how to add, just tell me the answer. I'm like, let me teach you how to add.
Yeah.
So I get it. You see the shiny thing. You're like, I want that.
Yeah. And that's why probably you and I have landed ourselves in more longer container mentorships and teaching, because that is the pathway home, is devote consistent practice. And not just, I'm bored. I think I might book a reading for my birthday.
Yeah. Yeah. And I always say, I'm like, I'm young and I have energy. Like when I'm an old lady, I'll sit in a chair and do readings until I die. But for now, when I'm feisty and I want to tell everyone about my favorite B word boundaries, I'm going to teach. And I'm going to be a math teacher showing everyone how to add and find their intuition and trust themselves. And yeah, we have lots of time. We'll be doing this for a while.
We will be. Oh my God, Stephanie, what an awesome conversation. So Medium in the Middle, that's her Instagram handle. How else can people find you?
I'm everywhere. Medium in the Middle, themediuminthemiddle.com is my official website where you can find all my offerings. I teach Reiki. I do mentorship. I do mediumship practice circles. I do one-on-one sessions with Reiki as well, but yeah, my teachings are my biggest offerings. Pretty much every social, TikTok, Pinterest, Medium in the Middle, I'm on YouTube, but podcast Medium in the Middle is available anywhere you listen. Thank you so much for having me on. That was such a fun conversation. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, it was amazing. Go, you know, Medium in the Middle podcast. She's been podcasting a lot longer than me. And I just know by the energy that she's bringing today that there's probably every question you could possibly have about mediumship and this journey on that show. So please go binge her podcast, follow her on Instagram. And if you have any curiosity on taking a radical responsibility for this human experience you're having and doing the work, then please go check out her classes. Stephanie, thank you. Have a beautiful day.
Thank you so much. You too.
Thank you for joining Champagne Channeling. I hope this started off your weekend beautifully. If you would like to learn more about our guest, please visit the show notes for more information. If you would like to support me, you can leave a written review, which helps the podcast grow, or you may toast your host at the link in the show notes for a glass or a bottle of champagne. I love you guys. Thank you for joining. Again, cheers to a beautiful weekend, and I will see you next week.